Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Goodness, does it feel good to be able to do that myself once again? Hello, everyone. This is your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, joined, of course, by his buddy, the lawyer, David Ungar, welcoming you into another edition of Hockey Talk. Hockey Talk is, of course, brought to you as a part of the ChairShot Radio Network here at thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always. Use your head.
And Dave, I got a confession. To quote Dave Grohl, though not quite as a bombshell of a confession, I have a confession.
You don't have a hidden family? Is that what you mean?
No, okay. I do not. Okay. I do not have hidden family.
All right.
But I got to tell you, it would be a lie for me to come on to this show today as we record here on Sunday, October 20th, and pretend like I've done anything other than pay attention to college football over the last few years.
Well,
in fact, guys, look at my background.
You guys did a statement victory.
I get to be a loud and proud University of Illinois fan this week after being a somewhat sheepish and embarrassed University of Illinois fan last week. Because my team, first of all, David, are you UCLA or USC? Which side of the fence are you?
On that side of the fence, UCLA. But I do know what happened with the USC game, and that is beautiful. Yes. Beautiful.
Yeah, nobody said, who did they
Maryland.
Lost to Maryland?
Maryland beat them.
And then UCLA lost too.
No, UCLA won their first Big Ten game against Rutgers.
Oh, that's right.
And
that's right.
You know, and me, I'm a Maryland fan, if I had to pick somebody. So, right. I mean, to beat USC in a Big Ten matchup, that's one of the most important Maryland victories in a while. But go on. There is one team in the Big Ten I want to ask you about, because I'm like, these guys for real? But we can.
Oh, Indiana. Indiana's fucking for real. Indiana. So here's the thing. I'll do the Illinois thing first. Folks, Hockey Talk is going to be somewhat truncated today. I do have one big thing I want to talk about with Dave on the second half of the show. We're going to look at some standings and some wins and losses. Florida has now calmed down. After their season started a little off, They have rattled off some wins. It's good to be a New York Rangers fan right now. There are some really big games, but we're going to talk in the second half of the show. We're actually going to talk about Tuesday today when you're listening to this podcast, because all 32 teams are playing on Tuesday.
Frozen
16
frenzy?
Games on ESPN.
They call it like Frozen Frenzy.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it a little bit more in the sense of like, what are we excited to see? Because it is a loaded slate. But we're going to talk some football, some college football to start, because I can't help it. Dave and I, as most of you know, are long-suffering sports fans many, many times. Dave, whether it be his Washington Nationals, his Maryland Terrapins, my University of Illinois Fighting Illini, our Caps and Blues,
Commanders Bears, and Bears,
and Bears and Commanders, like the pain that we get to endure most seasons is real. The only saving grace I had for a long time was the St. Louis Cardinals. And well, they've just decided to fuck that in the ass repeatedly. So yeah, I don't even have that right now. Hopefully that gets figured out, you know, sooner rather than later, because it's a franchise that shouldn't be as bad as it is. But college football, the university. So when I was a child, I'm a child of the 80s, and in Champaign, Illinois, there the old person saying that the old University of Illinois fan saying was that the 80s, the 1980s, belonged to the Illini. And when I was a kid, that was pretty true in the era of Mike White, the head coach in the early 80s, took Illinois to a Rose Bowl where they lost to the UCLA Bruins quite handily. Actually, it was not a pretty game. To Lou Henson on the basketball court, it was a good time. And my mother worked for the University of Illinois. And because she worked for the University of Illinois, we were able, my father and I, were able to go to University of Illinois home football game as season ticket holders. And when I was a kid in the 80s, for the longest time, I didn't see Illinois lose at home. The first non-victory for Illinois happened in the mid-80s against the Michigan Wolverines, and it was a 3-3 tie. That was the first time Illinois didn't win. And of course, since then, things changed, and the 80s came to an end. John Makovic leaves for Texas, and a steady decline of pain, just a slow, agonizing, progressively worse and worse and worse football program came to be, where Illinois would just be bad to middling with the occasional flare-up of a great season, whether that be 2000, 2007. They went to a Sugar Bowl one year. They went to the Rose Bowl one year. And every time they would win and make these big bowl games, they would then turn around and just get trounced in the bowl game. Like, I remember watching LSU obliterate us. I watched the Rose Bowl and watched USC obliterate us. But we went, and that was a big deal. That's a magical season. They don't happen very often. And this Illinois team, which was 5-1 going in, had one of the most unimpressive and disturbing second halves you could possibly have the week before against Purdue, where they blew a 27-3 lead in the second half. They gave up 46 points in the second half to a Purdue team that is atrocious. Got shut out by Oregon this past Saturday. So confidence was extraordinarily low that Illinois, a team that struggles to stop the run, was going to be able to contain the University of Michigan running attack. And make it I didn't know if it was going to be a competitive game. I was like, we got to make it a shootout if Illinois is going to win this. And they win a 21-7 in the trenches slugfest, where Illinois' offense did not play its best game. Some of that attributed to the Michigan defense. Some of that was just a bad overall day for the offense. But the defense came to play, and Illinois makes a statement win on national television. They were the CBS Game of the Week. It was the 100th year rededication ceremony of Memorial Stadium commemorating the 1924 Illinois victory over Michigan, where Red Grange ran for 6 touchdowns.
Red Grange, and man.
Red Grange in 12 minutes scored 4 touchdowns against Michigan, then got a quarter off in the second quarter before scoring 2 more touchdowns in the second half, and Illinois destroyed Michigan in what was, at the time, a very significant game for both programs, because they were co-national champions the year before, and Michigan and Illinois didn't play one another. So this was the matchup that everybody, it was a very big deal back in the 20s. But that's the last time Illinois was like truly relevant as a football power. So to win this game, to know that they're going to go to Autzen Stadium with nothing to lose against an Oregon team that has national title aspirations, like Illinois, much like when they lost to Penn State, they're going into that game with house money where all bets are off. I don't expect Illinois. I don't even know that I expect it to be that close of a game. Oregon is just so explosive all over the field that I fully expect that to be a long day at Autzen Stadium. But you know what? They're there. They're there at 6-1. They're going to be a top 20-ish team taking on the number one team in the country. And the college football world will be paying attention. That's outstanding for this program and something that we just don't get very often at the University of Illinois.
I'm thrilled. Autzen's a tough place to because a lot of us who are
it's
old,
such an amazing atmosphere.
Old Pac-12 fans, you know, that sort of thing. It's really tough place to play. But hey, they've got, like you said, nothing to lose. They've proven that they can play with the best teams. Oregon is a little erratic at home sometimes, so we'll see what happens. But you know, that it's going to be a good game. I think I wanted to ask you, as because you're a bigger college football fan than I am. This 12-team playoff really, it changes the dynamics of so many things, doesn't it? Because it's now
it's the best thing for college football,
right?
Without a doubt. I mean, when you consider how we used to determine a national championship, when it used to be there was an AP poll national champion and a coaches poll national champion.
So stupid.
Then we had this bullshit trying to like quantify teams' records as opposed to putting the football out there and having people play is just nuts. And it was silly to me because as somebody who went to an FCS school, you know, Eastern Illinois University, like you played your season to get to the playoffs. And we're seeing it now, you know, with these power conference teams and these powerhouses, these games don't matter till they do on some level, which I think is great. Like one loss doesn't actually destroy you. There are seven at-large that have to be picked because you get your five auto bids, and those five auto bids are the Power Four champions and one group of – it's not – they're not five anymore, but they still call it the group of five. But those non-Power Four, so you get one of those teams that's going to get that auto bid. Then you get seven more teams that are gonna get in there. And it's – as much as I hate it, and I hate to – like I hate some of these programs – college football is better when Notre Dame is relevant. College football is better when USC is relevant. I was excited for USC to be good this year because it's better for college football if USC, you know, is good. UCLA has just been so mired in mediocrity, it's hard to get behind that. But UCLA would be another program that would be good for college football to be good. Over in the ACC, Miami, Florida State, and Clemson being good is important for college football. And Miami keeps trying really hard to not be that team. They keep winning in spite of itself. I think Clemson is better than that.
The game against Cal, they had no business winning. None.
Well, they were gifted back-to-back wins. If you objectively, if you watch those games, like officiating was atrocious, it was terrible, and they were gifted a win. This game, they actually, you know, they overcame their own mistakes to win the game. There was a good officiating call. And then you look at the SEC, you know, you need Georgia to be good. You need Alabama to be good. LSU to be good. The programs that are good. And these teams don't have to, like, when you lose one game, you're no longer truly out of the picture.
No,
hell, you can lose up to two games.
Alabama's
and
right
not
there.
Out of the picture.
They've got two losses on them.
I don't think Alabama's going to make the playoff because Alabama's scheduled the rest of the way. They have shown themselves to not, they're much like Michigan right now. Michigan lost so much, including their head football coach, that and it's inexcusable. I don't care that you were playing in a national title game, University of Michigan. It's inexcusable to have the quarterback situation that they have right now. Because part of the reason why Illinois won that game is because they actually won the trenches. And they held Michigan to its lowest rushing total for the season by a significant margin and forced a third string journeyman quarterback to throw the football. And he could not do it. He was horribly inaccurate. When he did get things going, he made terrible reads. The interception that sealed the game for Illinois like part of that was a great play by Matthew Bailey, the safety, but you knew where Jack Tuttle was throwing that ball the second he snapped it, because he stared down his tight end. It was an easy read. It was an easy pick. There was another pick that got called back because of a defensive holding by Illinois where he just threw it to nowhere. The only guy standing there was the Illinois guy. And he caught it, and it would have been. And then two plays later, after they get the ball back, Michigan fumbles the ball away, and the turnover finally happens. So it was just, it's exciting. I love this time of year in college football. The teams are starting to separate themselves out. And, you know, the fun thing about now as a fan, whether it's a Maryland fan, whether it's any fan, is, you know, we're not supposed to be here, but what if we win? What if you pull one out? Suddenly people have to pay attention to you, and that's fun and exciting.
Yeah.
You asked about Indiana. Indiana is amazing. They are Kurt Cignetti, who came from JMU, brought a bunch of his guys up. They're not just beating people. They are getting leads and stomping on their throats to finish it off. And it's just not pretty. And you look at the rest of their schedule. Like, I'm sitting here looking, they have Washington, Michigan State, Michigan, who's not going to be ranked anymore. I don't think they get a challenging game until they play Ohio State the next to Thanksgiving weekend. They're going to have one loss. I think they are up to almost a 70% chance of being a college football playoff team. And they could be a contender to make it to the Big Ten championship game with that one loss. Because they're so good. And their offense is just explosive and dynamic. And people keep doubting them. And it doesn't matter who you throw in front of them. They generated 5 turnovers against Nebraska. And Nebraska's not a bad football team. No. Nebraska's eventually going to get their wins to go bowling for the first time in years. But man alive, that team is good. That team is so good. Teams you wouldn't expect to be good this year that are good. Vanderbilt, out of nowhere, yeah, winning games in the SEC. They're going to be ranked this week. Like, they're going to be ranked, deservedly so. You know, and some of the top tier aren't as good. Some of this is also just the state of college football now, and that is that teams are not as far apart as they used to. NIL, hey, NIL and change in transfer rules have completely shifted how rosters are constructed and where players go. Because players, if they don't play, they're going to go somewhere else. And you're seeing it everywhere. And teams that didn't used to be able to get that kind of talent, they may not get them on the first go around, but on that second go around where there's a chance to play, they're going to go. And that's what Illinois got. Luke Altmyer playing quarterback. Luke Altmyer lost his starting quarterback job to Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. And so Luke wanted to play. Illinois gave him a chance to play. Illinois was in the hunt for both Hudson Card and Altmyer. They lost out on Hudson Card to Purdue. They got Altmyer. And Ole Miss is okay. They're doing fine. Jackson Dart's a good quarterback. They're not going to be a playoff contender, but they're good. But Luke Altmyer, he's getting to play, and he's showing what he can do. Mm-hmm. So much so that I'm worried about Illinois' financial situation to be able to keep him if he doesn't go to the NFL this year.
No, like you said, it's a new era in college football. I mean, it's not quite free agency, but it's really damn close with what's going on
there. It's the Wild West right now. And there is a lot going crazy that does need to be regulated a little bit more. But the NCAA is a toothless organization.
Very toothless.
That can't hold anything. So I do think eventually you're going to see a Power Two, a haves and haves not sort of conference, where we do get that giant Big Ten / SEC monster conference. And then you're going to have another tier of college football. And
from the standpoint,
I'll be interested to see where the money goes.
Yeah. I mean, from the standpoint of, you know, just having a better structure as far as the playoffs. Cause I mean, I don't know if they're going to stick at 12, probably not for very long, but if you've got two conferences and your criteria is like the top teams in each conference make it and that's it, and there's no subjectivity involved, and you don't have a commission saying, well, I think this team looked better against this opponent. You know, I think that's better for the sport. I was going to ask you before, I know we got to get into the hockey piss, but
we'll get there.
Like, it was funny. You're talking about, you know, teams and what's good for college football. When these teams are good, As a dinner last night watching the Yankees Guardians, how much do you think Rob Manfred is pulling for the LA Dodgers today to eliminate Mets and set a Yankees Dodgers World Series?
Are you kidding me? Here's the thing is, Manfred wins either way.
True.
Because a Subway Series is going to be great as well. But if you get a Yankees-Dodgers World Series, the two most storied franchises in baseball, and I'm sorry, kids. I'm sorry, Red Sox fans. I'm sorry, Cardinal fans. The Yankees and the Dodgers are the two most storied franchises in baseball. Iconic.
They haven't met in the series since 81. And I mean, remember they were there three times in 5 years or something. And all those series were like legendary. So
yeah, this is going to be a huge boon to Major League Baseball if the Dodgers can get the job done. And I think they will.
They will.
I like the Mets, but I do think the Dodgers are ultimately just the deeper team. Deep pockets payoff. So that's going to work. All right. There you go, folks. There's your sports update from Patrick O'Dowd and David Ungar. Here's what we're going to do. Since we did that, we're going to take our commercial break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk very briefly about what's happened in the week that was. But then I want to talk about this. What are they calling this Tuesday?
Frozen Frenzy.
We got to talk Frozen Frenzy. So that's what we're going to do when we come back. Stick around. It's going to be a lot of fun. You're listening to Hockey/General Sports Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
If you want jazz music, go to New Orleans. Bagels, New York. And for psychics, think California Psychics. You want the best, you go to the best. At California Psychics, home of free spirits and open minds, we know better than anyone what makes a good psychic. That's why we guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to reelect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar, giving you all of our best hockey analysis and apparently general sports analysis this week, because I was just too excited to not talk about college football, mostly college football, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of everything. If you love what we do, if you love this sort of chatter, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, invest in a chair shot shirt. I'm repping the brand today, Dave. Look at me.
I see that, man. I was going to tell you, I got to stop doubting the Minnesota Vikings. I really need to stop doing that.
Yeah, they're the real deal.
Yeah.
The NFC North is
tough.
Better than expected.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're better than expected this year. It's great how pro football works. But I intimated at this at the beginning, at the top of the show, before we got too far into it. Florida Panther fans last week, after starting the season 0-2, I want to say. They started off with like a loss and a tie. And my Twitter feed, my ex-Twitter feed, was like loaded with doom and gloom, like throw the fucking season out. The Panthers are trash. We're terrible. Oh, ho hum. They're 4-2-1, 9 points, sitting atop the Atlantic. They're fine. Same thing with Bruins fans. You're 3-2-1. You've settled yourself down. You're fine. Quit your crying.
Let me just jump in real quick. Boston Bruins fans are so sick of seeing the Florida Panthers and probably don't want to see them anymore because two of Boston's losses.
Their number.
Yeah, they've got their number.
Well, on the bright side, you get them out, you get those games out of the way now, and you don't have to face them for a little bit. But the team that's kind of the most remarkable to me right now in terms of just hot teams, and you got to look at it, like, they're not sitting atop their division by points because New Jersey has played 8 games to their 5, but the New York Rangers are 4-0-1. They've won their last, they've won 4 in a row. So, you know, they started with that overtime game, or they won 3 in a row. That overtime game was in the middle there. Shesterkin's a beast. Shocker.
You're trying to justify whatever that free agent contract's going to be.
And in 5 games, they've scored 24 goals. Remember how we used to talk about the offensive problems within the New York Rangers? Yeah. At least early on, they've figured a little something out. And that is good news for those folks watching in the gardens.
The Rangers are who we thought they were.
Did that hurt you to say a little bit? I mean, it's not like I told you to speak nice about the Pens.
No. Well, the Pens aren't going. Neither are the Flyers. But if we're going to stick in the Metro, I got to talk about them because I buried them last week. But my Caps are probably going to be much better than I thought they were. You know, start 0-1. When you beat Vegas, you hand Dallas their first loss. Yep. And then you beat the Devils, the team that handed you your loss. And I'm like watching these guys play and I'm like, okay, offensively, this team has got no problem scoring, you know, and they got this interesting influx of youth in there. And I love TJ Oshie. Don't get me wrong. I love TJ Oshie. One of the best players in franchise history.
I loved him too.
But I'd be lying if I said I'm not a little bit glad he's on long-term IR because it got some of these younger guys into the mix and the Caps needed that. Now, you know, they still need to shore up the blue line. They're giving up too many goals. They gave up 2 goal leads twice to the Devils last night. I think Chychrun is the guy they got from Ottawa. I want to see him get more physical, but he's really good as far as a playmaker. So, yeah, I mean, and the thing that I love the Caps goaltending tandem, Charlie Lindgren and Logan Thompson, you know, they're not playing up to where they need to be right now, but, you know, Logan beating the Knights the other night, that had to feel pretty good for him. But yeah, I'm looking at teams in the Metro thing. I mean, the Devils are the real deal. They may have lost, but that is a team that, like, I watched the overtime and the Caps were smart. They just hung out behind their own net for as long as they could. Cause it's like, we cannot skate with these guys. Let's slow this down. And it worked. And they got the victory. But yeah, I mean, Carolina's kind of lurking back there. They're off to a slow start. Philadelphia's god awful. I mean, the Flyers are terrible. I don't know what Tortorella's doing over there, but it ain't working, to put it mildly. But anyway, I go back to you. I just, while we're on the Metro, I'm just like, the 3 teams at the top are pretty good. The Islanders are going
to
be good.
I think every week I'm going to just pose the same question to you to just be ready for it.
How am I feeling about my team?
No. Because we got to keep talking about them until it's not worth talking. How about the Utah Hockey Club? How about it? Like, how long can this be sustained? They've already had their first player named NHL Star of the Week, Dylan Gunther, for the week of the 14th, this previous week. So, like, again, we talked about this previously. Sometimes it's just a change of scene, right?
It can be. It is.
I think that's part of it.
That is a tangible quality to be playing in a full arena with a passionate fan base, with a city that wants you there, with all that support, like we said last week. That's going to carry the. Do not be surprised if they make the playoffs. Maybe not top 3, but wild card. Yeah, I think that's that's in play. Last week we talked about it, you know, in our is it too soon to panic section of the show about Colorado and Nashville. Nashville's in real trouble. They can't stop anybody.
Right.
Everybody's
so Colorado's scoring. Not much
Colorado,
better.
Colorado, I watched them play the other night. There's some real problems there with the Avalanche.
This will burn your biscuits. 28 goals given up in 5 games.
For Nashville?
For Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Nashville's given up 23 against 10 goals for Nashville. Only 17 for Colorado. That's atrocious. Here's the other team we got to talk about a little bit over here in the Central, in the Western Conference. Winnipeg, they've only played 4-0. 4 games are 4-0. Yeah. 18 goals in 4 games to only giving up 5. It's like, watch out for the Jets, man.
Well, But we say that every year. I mean, they've turned into the Edmonton Oilers, right? They start off really hot.
Baby.
They play really well, and then they collapse in the playoffs. Now, it's all Hallerbuck. You know, however the goaltending is how Winnipeg goes. But, yeah, I mean, you're looking at teams with a good start.
But you're off to 18 goals, man. You don't do that by accident.
No,
I don't care who you're playing. I don't care who you're playing. I hate, and this is how I'm going to segue to Tuesday. I hate that the Tuesday slate of games from – include my St. Louis Blues playing the Winnipeg Jets.
Blues are off Winnipeg to a really good start too. Man. Four and
they're
two.
Off to an okay start. Yeah. You know, yeah, they're playing solid. Much like what you talked about with Washington, I do think they've got a better mix of young guys and veterans playing so far, and they're playing pretty well. And I can't be upset with that. It really is Jordan Kyrou's team now, right. And that's good.
We got to mention this. We don't have to be on watch yet, but every time it happens, you probably need to, you know, put that in the back of our mind. Ovechkin got a goal last night. So now we're 41 away.
Yeah.
Wasn't a pretty goal. This is a little deflection that dribbled behind the goaltender, but it counts.
Hey, I say that in bowling all the time when I go Brooklyn. Kids, for those of you who don't know, a Brooklyn strike is when you hit the head pin on the opposite side of where you're supposed to as a left or right-handed bowler. Doesn't matter how it looks, as long as they all fall down. If he goes in, it's great.
Let's like golf. Better to be lucky,
right?
Unless you're
so. Tiny. Let's look at Tuesday, because this is this huge day for the NHL. Every single game, every single team in the league is playing. They are all available to be seen or streamed. I do believe on ESPN Plus. At worst, ESPN is covering three games, including Dave's Caps. They're also covering the Avalanche and the Kraken and the Kings and Vegas, which is probably the best matchup of the three that's on TV. If you were to ask me, unfortunately, we East Coasters are going to miss that game because it starts at 11.
Dude,
and I'm an old man.
I'm looking at the schedule. The game that might get really, 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 really ugly. Bruins Predators. Woo! That could be.
Yeah. Oh, that could be. That's going to be. But yeah, if you going through this card, first let's talk about our own team's matchup. I've already said with the way Winnipeg is playing so far, I have concerns. I have concerns with the way they're scoring and not letting other teams score. You've got the Flyers. The Flyers are off to a terrible start. You should win this game if you're doing what you're supposed to do, but it is in Philly. And that's never an easy task. So, no.
But like you're saying, they should win this. They should win that game. You know, it's early in the year. I expect the Caps blue line to really solidify. And if they do, playoffs, yes. Could they be the start? I mean, I hear a lot of people, they're the dark horse competitors for all this stuff. Look, offensively, they look a lot better than last year. You know, this is a team that, you know, let's play the Rangers. Let's see where we are. You know, that sort of thing. When that happens, then that's something. But yeah, they should handle the Flyers okay. Jets Blues. I mean, you guys are playing at home. If I had to guess,
which helps,
I think you guys are going to hand Winnipeg their first loss. That's my feeling about it. But you never know. But there's some interesting matchups on here.
There are. So we're actually kind of running up against our time. We talked too much college football to start this. So let's looking
it's,
over the schedule. What
the
is what? It is. But what is one other matchup that kind of excites you? I'll let you pick first and then I'll go second.
Well, I mean, Kings Golden Knights is always a good, because no matter the disparity
Absolutely.
In talent between them, that's a rivalry that was born the second Vegas got a team. And LA and Vegas have had a pretty heated rivalry. So that's always a good one. Hurricanes Oilers. That should be another really good. Edmonton's finding themselves early on and haven't quite got there yet. Carolina's kind of in the same boat. So these are two teams trying to get, you know, build something, get some momentum going, get something positive going. I like that match.
Cool. Yeah. All right. I wish I had the MSG Network or ESPN Plus and could watch the Rangers taking on Montreal. I think that's going to be a fun game to watch. The Canadiens, you know, not quite where they want to be, but they're always a tough matchup, and they're not terrible. They're 2-3.
They're goalie.
2-3-1.
Montalbo,
yeah.
I think is his name. He's kind of underrated. I think he's really good and can be very streaky. But every time I watch him, I'm like, I like
right.
this kid. The other one, Lightning.
And I really just want to see. I just want to see Shesterkin play because he's playing really, really well now.
It's ridiculous. Got Tampa Bay, New Jersey. That'll be a good test for the, because Kucherov is off to it. Is he have like 9 goals already this year? It's ridiculous.
Yes.
I mean, that's an unbelievable start for, it's like Steve Stamkos, who, man, Kucherov is just, where did Stamkos go? I forget.
Somewhere.
I don't hear much about him yet, but I got to figure out where Steven Stamkos signed. I forget. Wasn't it? I don't remember.
Where did he sign? Predators?
Did he go to Nashville? Whew. He's got to be thinking, what the fuck did I do, man? How did I end up in this mess?
Mistakes were made, but it happened.
He could never have imagined that abysmal on defense. That just, I mean,
right?
Yeah, I'd like to say they'll turn around, but maybe not.
Yeah. So, as you like to say, a lot of season to go, plenty of time. All right, we got to actually wrap up a little bit here. A little bit, like I said, sorry folks, we didn't do as much hockey talk. We did more of a sports talk show, and that's not always the worst thing in the world. But watch hockey, find an opportunity. I really think the problem that I have with this, and this will be my last thought before I go, NHL is promoting this, you know, this day, and you can only reasonably access 3 games without some sort of a subscription that gives you ESPN Plus or the local affiliates within your cable package. To me, that's a mistake. To me, if I'm ESPN, we make this a full day and you use ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, ESPN News, and you try to broadcast as many of them as you can. And maybe that's a dumb marketing plan, and I know that there's probably regional contracts involved and stuff too, but it would be an opportunity for a great day for hockey, for the NHL.
It's not.
If you ask.
It's not a dumb marketing plan. But if you're a hockey fan, I cannot recommend to you more thoroughly to get ESPN Plus, because it is really, for hockey fans, it is absolutely worth whatever you're paying. I mean, if you're getting it through some bundle on Disney Plus and ESPN and Hulu and all that stuff, and yeah, it's up to $22 a month now, but it's worth it for hockey fans, because it's basically, you know, the NHL's got center ice, which is okay, but this is more like DirecTV for hockey fans than what NHL center ice is doing, because you can really tailor it to your team. I see almost every Caps game, or I can tune in if I want. And that's how I watched the overtime last night. I was sitting in the car watching. It's like, interesting strategy. We're not going to skate with these. It worked.
Right. Hey. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Hockey Talk. Dave, before we get out of here, tell everybody where to find you on the Chairshot Radio Network and thechairshot.com and all of the socials.
I'm just happy my sound is working right again, and I can hear everything going on with Pat and Tunney and all that. When I got it working the other day, we did some recording at DWI, and I messaged Tony real quick. Hey, can you jump on for 2 minutes and check this out? He's like, yeah, give me like 10 minutes. But anyway, no one cares. You can find me on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
And you can follow me on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. Catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the Chairshot Radio Network. Mondays, talking nerdy stuff with Dave and a couple of other dudes. Just kind of a variety of which of those dudes it'll be. Tuesdays, Dave and I talking either music or hockey, though less music will be played. And Wednesday, talking wrestling. Most Wednesdays with one Greg DeMarco on the Greg DeMarco Show. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's edition of Hockey Talk. We look forward to coming back to you next week, reacting to the week that was. It's been a great time. Have a wonderful week and enjoy all of the games on tonight. There's some doozies. This has been Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
If you want jazz music, go to New Orleans. Bagels, New York. And for psychics, think California Psychics. You want the best, you go to the best. At California Psychics, home of free spirits and open minds, we know better than anyone what makes a good psychic. That's why we guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Marino's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Senator Sherrod Brown believes in our shared freedoms, our American values, and our right to the American dream, not just for some of us, for all of us. That's why he's fought back against rising costs, capping the price of insulin, and introducing laws to crack down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. This November, let's stand with Sherrod Brown, a proven leader who has always put us first. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.